past, maybe we do this cancellation.
Right, but that's, I mean, that was our plan, but it's clear from Dan that this is not something you can do in a short amount of time.
Oh, the short amount of time.
So we, you know, we had spent a long time writing up the HLT paper, and we wanted to use that kind of analysis, but the HLT paper has, you know, it's a very crude measure of overlap. It's not really something you could scientifically say is overlap. It's just whether or not the
high correlation.
The segments that were all synchronized, whether there was some overlap somewhere. And, you know, it pointed out some differences, so we thought, well, if we can do something quick and dirty, because Dan said the cross cancellation is not straightforward. If it were straightforward, then we would try it. But so it's sort of good to hear that it was not straightforward, thinking if we can get decent forced alignments, then at least we can do sort of an overall report of what happens with actual overlap in time. But
I didn't think that the message that it wasn't straightforward.
Well,
I thought he was just saying you have to look over a longer time.
But there are some issues of this timing in the recordings.
Right.
And
so you just have to look over a longer time when you're trying to align the things. You can't just look.
Well, are you talking about the fact that the recording software doesn't do time synchronous? Is that what you're referring to? That seems to me you can do that over the entire file and get it very accurate.
I don't think that was the issue. The issue was that you first have to have a pretty good speech detection on the individual channels.
And it's dynamic, so I guess it was more dynamic than some simple models would be able to. So there are some things available, and I don't know too much about this area, where if people aren't moving around much, then you could apply them, and it should work pretty well if you took care of this recording time difference.
Right, which should be pretty straightforward.
Which at least is well defined.
Yeah.
But then if you add the dynamic aspect of adapting distances, then it wasn't, I guess it just wasn't something that he could do quickly, not in time for us to be able to do something like 2 weeks from now. So, listen. So I don't know what we can do, if anything, that's sort of worth, you know, a Eurospeech paper at this point.
Well, Andreas, how well did it work on the non-Lapel stuff?
Yeah,
I haven't checked those yet. It's very tedious to check these. We would really need, ideally, a transcriber to time mark the, you know, at least the beginning and ends of contiguous speech. And, you know, then with the time marks, you can do an automatic comparison of your
first
alignments.
Because really, the at least in terms of how we were going to use this in our system, was to get an idea for each channel about the start and end boundaries. We don't really care about, like, immediate word boundaries.
No, that's how I've been looking at it. I mean, I don't care that the individual words are aligned correctly, but you don't want to infer from the alignment that someone spoke who didn't.
Right, exactly. So that's why I was wondering maybe if it doesn't work for Lapel stuff, we can just not use that.
I just haven't had the time to do the same procedure on one of the. So I would need a channel that has a speaker who has a lot of overlap, but, you know, is a non-lapel mic, and where preferably also there's someone sitting next to them who talks a lot. So
meeting
maybe
with me
someone can help me find a good candidate, and then I would be willing to.
You know what? Maybe the best way to find that would be to look through these. Because you can see the seat numbers, and then you can see what type of mic they were using. And so we just look for, you know, somebody sitting next to Adam.
Actually, we can tell from the data that
from the insertions, maybe.
There's a way
from
to tell. It might not be a single person who's always overlapping that person, but any number of people. And if you align the two hypothesis files across the channels, you know, just word alignment, you'd be able to find that. So I guess that's sort of a last. There are sort of a few things we could do. One is just do like non-lapels if we can get good enough alignments. Another one was to try to get somehow align Tilo's energy segmentations with what we have. But then you have the problem of not knowing where the words are, because these meetings were done before that segmentation. But maybe there's something
that
could be done.
Why do you need the forced alignment for the HLT? I mean, for the Eurospeech paper?
Well, I guess I wanted to just do something not on recognition experiments, because that's way too early, but to be able to report you know, actual numbers. Like if we had hand transcribed per good alignments or hand checked alignments, then we could do this paper. It's not that you need it to be automatic. But without knowing where the real words are in
so it was
time,
to get more data and better
to
squeeze the boundaries.
To know
in.
What an overlap really if it's really an overlap
yeah.
or if it's just a segment correlated with an overlap. And I guess that's the difference to me between like a real paper and a promissory paper. So it might be possible to take Tilo's output and like if you have right now these meetings are all
I forgot the digital camera again every meeting.
You know, their time aligns with these are two different channels and somebody's talking here and somebody else is talking here. Just that word.
Mm-hmm.
If Tilo can tell us that there are boundaries here, we should be able to figure that out because the only thing transcribed in this channel is this word. But you know, if there are things
two words.
Yeah, if you have two and they're at the edges, like here and here, and there's speech here, then it doesn't really help you. So
Tilo's won't put down two separate marks.
Well,
Tilo's will, but
it would, but we don't know exactly where the words are because the transcriber gave us two words in this time bin, and we don't really know.
That's a merging problem. If you
yeah,
if you had a script, which would I thought about this.
I mean, if you have any ideas,
I discussed it with Tilo. In principle, I could imagine writing a script which would approximate it to some degree, but
well,
there's
maybe
this problem of slippage.
Maybe that will get enough of the cases
right.
to be useful.
I mean, that would be really helpful. That was sort of
yeah,
another.
Yeah, it seemed like most of the cases are, in fact, the single word sorts, or at least a single phrase in most of the bins.
I wouldn't make that generalization, because
yeah.
sometimes people will say, and then I, and there's a long pause, and finish the sentence, and sometimes it looks coherent, and the news. It's not a simple problem. But it's really, and then it's coupled with the problem that sometimes, you know, with a fricative, you might get the beginning of the word cut off, and so it's coupled with the problem that Tilo's isn't perfect either. I mean,
right.
It's like you have a merging problem plus some merging plus this problem of not. If the speech non-speech were perfect to begin with the detector, that would already be an improvement. But that's
right.
impossible.
Yes.
You know, that's too much to ask. And so, I think that there would have to be some hand tweaking, but it's possible that a script could be written to merge those two. Discussed it with you in terms of not him doing it, but we discussed some of the parameters of that and how hard it would be to, in principle, to write something that would do that.
And I guess in the future it won't be as much of an issue if transcribers are using the Titan boundaries to start with, then we have a good idea of where the force alignment is constrained to.
Well, it's just, you know, a matter
so
of, we had the revolution. We had the revolution of improved interface 1 month too late. But it's like,
oh,
you know, it's wonderful to have the revolution. So
yeah.
it's just a matter of, you know, from now on, we'll be able to have things channelized to begin with.
Right, and we'll just have to see how hard that is.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's
whether
right.
the corrections take too much time. I was just thinking about the fact that if Tilo's missed these short segments, that might be quite time-consuming for them to insert them.
Good point.
But he also can adjust this minimum time duration constraint, and then what you get is
spurious
noises mostly, but that might be okay.
It might be easier to delete something
right.
that's wrong than to insert
see
something
in
that's missing. What do you think,
that,
Jane?
Yeah.
If you can feel confident that, what, that, yeah, that there's actually something
yeah, because then,
that
then
you're
you
not
just delete it, and you don't have to pick a time.
Well, the problem is, it's a really good question, and I really find it a pain in the neck to delete things because you have to get the mouse up there on the text line, and otherwise you just use an arrow to get down. I mean, it depends on how long. There's so many extra things that would make it one of them harder than the other, or vice versa. It's not a simple question, but you know, I mean, principle, like you know, if one of them is easier than to bias it toward whichever one is easier.
Yeah, I guess the semantics aren't clear when you delete a segment. Right, because you would say you would have to determine what the surroundings were.
You could just say it's a noise, though, and write. You know, a post processor will just. All you have to
if
do is.
If it's really
just,
a noise.
Or I'll just say it's just put X. You know, like not speech or something.
I think it's easier to add than to delete.
Yeah.
Frankly, because you have to maneuver around on both windows then.
To add or to delete.
To delete.
Okay.
Anyway, so I guess.
That maybe that's an interface issue that might be addressable. But I think it's the semantics that are questionable to me, that you delete something. So let's say someone is talking to here, and then you have a little segment here. Well, is that part of the speech? Is it part of the non-speech? I mean, what do you embed it in?